Broadcasting live from the WKBC studios in Garden City, this is the Morning Roundup with Baylen Hite and Derek Decker on 99.9 The Rock.
Monday morning edition of the Morning Roundup. We are back. Baylen Hite, Derek Decker, Aaron Elam in for us last Thursday and Friday. We do appreciate Aaron coming over. Had Caleb Cox in studio. Certainly fun to hear the conversation between those guys. Talking all things Garden City Community College baseball and some sports beyond in Western Kansas. But it's the original crew. You're stuck with us again. Once again, Baylen Hite here, Derek Decker. As well, recapping what was an extremely busy weekend in Western Kansas. We had NFL rocking and rolling. Chiefs pick up the win over the Jaguars. We had K-State and Kansas in action. Both those teams, after facing each other, had some tough, tough Big 12 games to go on to Saturday. And then, of course, high school basketball tournament season is in full swing. Tournament of Champions wrapped up with Dodge City. We also had Scott City, Hugoton, and the Sterling Invitational. And then you want to look at Garden City and the Valley Center, January Jam. A ton of fun stuff to get to, a lot to talk about. Derek, let's just talk, you know, how was the weekend? Let's start there. Let's ask how you're doing, because we got a lot to get into, and it's going to be another busy week for us. But I know you had some Dodge City basketball, had a lot of fun at the Tournament of Champions. Talk about that maybe a little bit, and just kind of what you're up to.
Over the last 3 days, and so I'm honestly surprised how well the voice has held up. I thought it'd be a little weaker by this point, but the good news is I was able to just kind of take it easy yesterday and watch some football. But it was a lot of fun. You know, the tournament field, I thought there were some really good teams in it. There was probably five or six teams that theoretically could have won it all, and then there were a couple teams at the bottom that kind of struggled, but Hutchinson stays undefeated against Mays South. Tremendous championship. All four games from seventh place game all the way up to the championship on Saturday were fabulous ball games. We had a two-point game in the fifth place game. Of course, Dodge City went to triple overtime. We'll get to that in a little bit. In the seventh place game, consolation game came down to the last couple of possessions. And then the championship, same thing. Hutchinson defeating Mays South. They already beat them a couple weeks ago. Hutchinson is off close to their best start in school history, their best start now in more than 20 years, and they look like a legitimate team that could win it all in 5A. I think Mays South has some legitimate players on offense. They are a team that can explode. You know, they dropped 85 points on Thursday night in their opening round game. It's a team that can really get up and down the floor, but Hutchinson slowed them down big time, and Hutch's defense is for real. And it'll be interesting to watch because those two teams very easily could meet in the state tournament again. So kind of surprising that we had two 5A teams in the championship, especially when we had a 6A Derby team that was in the top five this week that Dodge City took to the wire, and then Derby eventually got beaten by Mays South. And then they also lost, Junction City played the next day and beat them as well. So it was a very, very fun last couple of days in the Tournament of Champions. And such, we were talking before we went on the air, such a well-run event, and it was my first experience with it, but the whole thing top to bottom, from the student involvement to the band and all the performances and the all-tournament team and everything else, and especially being at United Wireless Arena, where there was excellent food all week, I might add, topped off by country fried steak on Saturday afternoon in the hospitality room. Not a lot to complain about this weekend.
Yeah, just real quick, Derek, kind of touch on that student involvement, because I was really impressed by that. I know you had the group on the Dodge City Coaches Show, what was it, last week or a week before that, but talk about their involvement kind of setting this tournament up. It sounded like it was a year-long course, and if it was kind of the idea that I'm thinking of, that's a high-level type of involvement at the high school level and a great experience for those kids in the sports management realm, because United Wireless, fantastic facility, awesome to be able to see kind of the production that was put on there, and to know that it was heavily involved with students, and that's even more impressive.
Yeah, and I think you're right. This is it's a very college type deal where you get some serious experience running a tournament, planning things out. It is a class and a course that that the kids are able to take. Juniors and seniors lead it, but there's also underclassmen involved as well. You get on the committee, and you basically run the tournament from there. They do everything from hosting teams and bringing teams in and working them into the locker room and making sure officials are taken care of and event staff, and they come check on you at the media table. I mean, everything that you think needs to happen from an organizational standpoint. It all does. And again, totally well run from the start. Really no hiccups. The only thing that happened on Saturday is we went to triple overtime in a game, so we ended up being behind. There's nothing you can do about that. But the video production as well, that's all, that's headed up by Brian Myers and the folks over at the video department at DCHS. And yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do, and I thought the tournament was well run. Again, like I said, the band playing the entire time, but getting kids hands-on experience running a tournament, like that's stuff that goes on a resume. And then you see what kind of, tournament it is. It's the longest running high school tournament west of the Mississippi. And then you get to say, hey, look, we plan this thing out. They call the teams. They invite the teams. They organize everything, travel lists, rosters, programs. They get all that stuff done. And it is mostly a student-run event. And again, it is without question the best high school event and most organized high school event I have ever been a part of.
Yeah, that was awesome. And for those kids to be able to pull up the video, pull up kind of what they did and say, show a future employer or show a university trying to get into some sort of sports management program. I know Indiana, Ball State, both have very good programs in that category, Derek. We were in and around that, a ton of experience there. That's really invaluable stuff. So shout out Dodge City High School for making that happen and having that as a path, and obviously kind of that connection with the Tournament of Champions. Really a great, great event and fun to watch. Really random aside, Hutchinson, the Salt Hawks. Is that the best name you've heard since we've been out here, Derek? That's one of my favorites as far as the high school mascots go. I don't know. We've seen some different ones. We've been around. But I'm gonna be honest, Salt Hawks sound pretty cool.
Oh, no question. I sat down and I went through the eight teams' mascots and I asked my fiance, rank these from first to last. And Salt Hawks was near the bottom for her, and I was totally disappointed.
No.
I think Salt Hawks was the best team, best team name in the field, without question. Who could be better than the Salt Hawks? It's got to be the only, Salt Hawks in the country, because the way that is connected with the town, it's awesome. I think it's an awesome, awesome name, and it should never be thrown away. They should never, ever change their name, no matter what anybody says.
Yeah, that was really, really cool. Awesome stuff. High school basketball action. We're going to get a little bit more in-depth with Garden City, Dodge City, and some of the other teams involved. But I first want to start in the NFL in our morning news and notes segment. A lot going on in the NFL. Obviously, Chiefs pick up the win over the Jaguars 27-7. Eagles beat up on the Giants pretty heavy 38-7. Bengals dominate the Bills 27-10. And then the Cowboys fell to the 49ers last night in the final matchup 19-12. Let's start back with the Kansas City and the Jaguars matchup. Biggest news out of this one by far, the high ankle sprain of Patrick Mahomes. Chad Henne comes in, leads a touchdown drive. But the Chiefs now have, something to think about here with Patrick Mahomes. Will he play? More than likely. What will his involvement be in practice? That's remained to be seen. I liked what I saw out of Trevor Lawrence in this game as well. But the big storyline, how does this injury, impact the Chiefs? Chiefs Nation, what are you feeling? How are you feeling? What should your confidence level, or maybe not confidence level, scared factor be heading into this matchup with a Bengals team that looks hot? And oh, by the way, have absolutely dominated the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, before we get into it, I do want to shout out, Derek's pick was the Bengals. My pick was the Chiefs. We've got a head-to-head here, and I think we're still alive in the NFC. I think you went with the 49ers as well, Derek. So I think we could still potentially get our Super Bowl matchups right.
Yeah, we very well could, and I am just so glad that finally the Bengals were validated this weekend. And, Tony Romo made a comment yesterday during the broadcast about a lot of folks, most folks probably picked the Bills, and a lot of people were hoping for that neutral site AFC championship and all that between the Bills and the Chiefs. But I don't know that anybody, and even if you had the Bengals winning that game, I don't know how many people actually had the Bengals dominating, because that's what they did. They pulled away in the second half and they took care of the Bills, no problem. On the Chiefs note, first of all, as an aside, I actually got to meet the Chiefs mascot at an FCA event on Friday night, also part of the Tournament of Champions. That was at the high school Friday night. So he went from Dodge City and drove 5.5 hours to Kansas City overnight. That event was at 10 o'clock, didn't go over till about 11:30. And so he drove through the night to get to KC so he could be at the stadium in the morning for that, you know, for the divisional matchup. But that's just a little aside. Chiefs winning 27-20. Baylen, I thought the Chiefs were solid in this game. As far as Patrick Mahomes goes, I think everybody knows pretty much he's going to at least try to play. Now, whether he makes it through the whole game remains to be seen. Here's the problem. He's clearly not going to be the same quarterback that Patrick Mahomes is. He's going to have to stand in the pocket and be patient with stuff. And the Chiefs are going to have to try to avoid big hits at all costs. He's probably not going to roll out a ton. I can't imagine him being very mobile, even if he does play. So, in my opinion, they're probably going to try to establish the running game early. Bengals' defense is legitimate. This is not going to be an easy matchup. You're right. The Bengals have absolutely owned the Chiefs, and now the Chiefs have got to be sweating bullets coming into this matchup, knowing we've got our quarterback, you know, limping, and he's not at full strength. The Bengals, of course, they're not at full strength either. I think people overlooked that. Like, their offensive line is still in shambles, and look what they did in the trenches yesterday. So very, very impressive by the Bengals, but the Chiefs have got to be sweating big time, because even if Patrick Mahomes plays, he's not going to be 100%, and he will not be the Patrick Mahomes quarterback that we're used to seeing in the playoffs.
First things first, I'm jealous you met KC Wolf. That's that's all time on the list of celebrities I'd like to meet one day. Anyway, aside from that, this is a scary situation. I think the one saving grace you have if you're a Chiefs fan is at least it's at home. I know that didn't matter as much last year, and the Bengals pretty much with the same situation, offensive line pretty banged up, coming into Kansas City again with a chance to take down Kansas City to go to the Super Bowl. You're at home. You've got to make it tough. You've got to get pressure and at least slow down that running game of Joe Mixon. He had an absolutely outstanding game against the Bills. I think that this one does come down to the health and the availability of Patrick Mahomes. He's been a mobile quarterback in the playoffs. He's got some mobility in the regular season, but this is where he really comes through and shines. It's in the postseason. I think he's averaging like 25 more yards per game on the ground, and he ran pretty well in that game against the Bills last year. Feels like for me, it comes down to Mahomes. It's always going to come down to Mahomes for the Chiefs. Can they get pressure? Can you make Joe Burrow look human? Because that's what people really haven't done this year in the postseason yet. Between the Ravens game and the Bills game, they've allowed him to kind of get whatever he wants. He's been able to move. He's looked really, really mobile, really good on the run as well. And he just has not had that coming down to earth moment like I think he kind of had against the Raiders last year in the first round. And then obviously they go on that run all the way to the Super Bowl. I don't know what I like in this game. I don't know my initial prediction. Let's look at the line right now. I actually haven't looked at the line yet for this, and I'm sure it's impacted heavily on Patrick Mahomes. There's no way the Bengals are the favorite in this game just because of the home field, but I'm awfully interested to see what this line looks like. I'm firing it up real quick. Let's see what we got here. Early lines for all the games. Looks like, okay, so what do you think it is? Whose line is it, Derek? What do you got here? What do you think? I don't know if you've seen it or not. If you've seen it, then you can say it. But what do you think coming into this game the Chiefs and Bengals opening line is?
Well, I don't know what the opening line is. I would say the Chiefs probably still maybe get a couple of points at home. I'm not sure. It's hard to say. Look, in my opinion, the Bengals should be favorites. They've owned them, and Patrick Mahomes is not going to be at 100% no matter what anybody says, and even if he plays, again, he won't be 100%. So the Bengals need to be favorites, but they're probably not.
It is -1.5 Chiefs right now with a hook. So it's more close to 1 point right now. I don't know if that's going to go up. I don't know if you're right. The Bengals might end up as a favorite by the end of this week, especially if we get some bad news on Patrick Mahomes, because me and you both have kind of said I think he's going to play. It's just whether or not what he plays at. Any guess for the Eagles and 49ers game real quick since we're here?
Ooh, this will be an interesting one. I like this. I'm certain that the Eagles are going to be at least a couple-point favorites, maybe three and a half at home.
Close enough, 2.5. More closer to three. They got the hook on that one at -120 for 2.5. For Philadelphia, over-under set in that game at 45.5 right now. Bengals and Chiefs, 47.5. I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of like the under in that Chiefs-Bengals game. I don't know if there's going to be a ton of points. I mean, the Bengals haven't put up a ton. They just barely got the over in that Ravens game. This game, 37 points against the Bills. And if you have a limited Patrick Mahomes, 47 seems kind of like a lot. I don't know. What do you think about that, Derek?
Oh, I totally agree. And I think the defense of the Bengals is legitimate. I think this should absolutely be a low-scoring game. It's also worth noting, too. It's just worth keeping an eye on. I mean, it's again, it's not always a a breaker. You know, it's not the end of the world, but, you know, weather's always something to keep an eye on going in to this weekend. Obviously, it's wintertime, and we're in, you know, we're in Kansas slash Missouri. So it's possible that weather could be a factor. It looks okay next weekend. It looks like it's sunny and in the 30s, maybe, so a little chilly, but that's nothing that's going to be a problem for either one of these two teams. So looks okay. I would say it's probably going to be the under. Honestly, both of them could hit the under.
Yeah, I like.
I mean, I like the Niners' offense too, and the Eagles are really hard to stop. But that Niners' defense yesterday, what we saw them do against the Cowboys, yes, they didn't have Tony Pollard, but who cares? Like, I don't think that's the end all be all. When you've got a backup like Zeke, you should be able to move the football a little bit when you need to, theoretically. I mean, if we're talking about vintage Zeke here, so no, I think this they could both theoretically get the under.
There's your little bit of an inside peek at our betting corner. We're not, we're not by any means some of the best or some of the worst out there, but those lines are interesting. Definitely going to take a look at those and kind of look through those this week and just follow that along to see which way that goes. I think you're right about the Bengals. I think they end up being a favorite by the end of kickoff on that line. Anyway, let's look at some of the other games real quick. There's not a whole lot to look at. You know, Giants had a good season. They beat up on the Vikings. Good job there. Eagles just looked back to 100% with Jalen Hurts, ran the football well, dominated from tape to tape, really. And the biggest thing is Jalen Hurts is healthy, and they'll be back at home. We already talked about the Bengals a little bit, kind of a mundane game, taking care of Buffalo on the road. Only away team to pick up a win. So that was a little bit of a storyline there. Joe Burrow does not look human. I mean, he has really made every play that he needs to make for this team to win, and you're seeing that as a result in the score. And then the Cowboys, last night, this game was fun in a weird way. I know it wasn't the high-scoring, high-flying game that a lot of people probably wanted after what had been kind of a quiet weekend in this divisional round. But I enjoyed this game. Two good defenses going back and forth. Brock Purdy didn't do anything special, but he took care of the football. That's something Dak Prescott can't say. Here's the hot take of the morning, Derek. Here we go. Everyone's talking about it. This is on the storylines and headlines for all the major shows this morning. I think Dak Prescott's done. I think he is. I know they have a lot of money on the line. I don't know if he is or isn't the quarterback next year, but I think this is officially the point in which they can kind of say, okay, Dak's ceiling is a first-round playoff win. That's kind of what it's been. They overachieve sometimes, and they underachieve a lot of times, but I think Dak's overall ceiling is one playoff win. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to be comfortable with that, not with that defense they have, not with the skill positions they have. And you lose a game where you feel like you had so many chances to make plays, so many chances to be in this game. Dak throws two really, really bad interceptions. Could have been a third easily had it not been dropped, and that would have really been the end of the game for me. I just think the Cowboys, the way that franchise is run, the way that they are, you've got an interesting draft class of quarterbacks coming up in this year's NFL draft, and you also have a lot of really interesting free agents. You've got guys like Aaron Rodgers who may be available. Tom Brady, a name that's been tossed out there as well. I would find it, you know, Jerry Jones kind of in that same boat as Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, where it's like, we want to win now and I'll do whatever it takes to win now, or at least get somebody in that I think can win. Would not be surprising if Dak Prescott gets moved or the Cowboys at least look into some of their options next year.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun too? If Dak Prescott goes on the market, then this could be a really fun offseason in terms of quarterbacks. So Jerry Jones last night after the game, he says, I thought this team with Dak at quarterback, I thought we had a chance to get to and compete at the top level in this tournament. I really did. So you can make of that what you want. I think you're probably right. I would lean at this point towards the Cowboys at the very least taking a flyer on several different options at quarterback. Dak's a good quarterback. I don't think anybody really disputes that or doubts that he's a quality quarterback. He's a legitimate guy. He's a starter in this league, and that is not an easy thing to say. In my opinion, he's very much in the top half of quarterbacks. I think he gets slighted sometimes, but this is an organization that has extraordinarily high standards, and if you don't win now, and he's been given some leash, if you don't win now, then it's going to be the door. And so I think it's probably the case where, again, I'm not ready to say that the Cowboys are for sure going to move on from Dak, but I think they're definitely going to look at their other options. And with Tom Brady on the market, you know, and other people involved, there are other quarterbacks out there. You're right about the draft class. It's super interesting with quarterbacks this year. The Cowboys are probably, at the very least, going to look seriously at their options and see what they want to do with Dak. And it's possible they may keep Dak on as a backup. You know, I think it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it is. I have seen that possibility thrown out there as well. So they could keep him on. You never know with quarterback injuries in the NFL. So maybe he's a backup for a year. I don't know. Very interesting to watch, but another disappointing one. Like, this is the most classic Cowboys loss. Like, it's just every single playoffs, it's always something. And you even it even looked like last year, right at the end of that game. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about the Mike McCarthy play calls and then also pushing the camera guy on the way out? But that's a separate thing. But just random Cowboys type stuff at the end of the game. You know, it's like last year where they get to the boundary and gets pushed back in bounds. So it's in bounds. By the way, great call by the head linesman over there. So the clock continues to run. So then they have to hustle and then they waste some time. They don't clock it. They take a shot and then they run like a Colts Patriots Griff Whalen fake punt type of formation on the last play of the game. Just absolutely mind boggling stuff. No better way than the Cowboys to lose the way that they did at the end of that game. Just incredibly mismanaged, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was really mismanaged. They had every opportunity to win this game. Does Cooper Rush win this game? I saw that getting thrown around last night. I'm not sure I'm going to be in that boat, but people were talking about, you know, what does that look like if he's the starting quarterback in this game and takes care of the football? What do you think, Derek?
I don't know. I mean, I think the Niners defense was just really good. People wanted to talk about Tony Romo losing these type of games, but Tony Romo lost to a lot of Hall of Famers. Right. you know, Dak's not losing to Hall of Famers in the playoffs. So I don't know if Cooper Rush wins this game. Who knows? I mean, it could go one way or the other. I think Tony Pollard was a factor. The fact that he didn't play and the Cowboys lost some depth at running back certainly hurt them. I would say, again, you know, I think the Niners defense, the difference in this thing, because the offense for the Niners was less impressive than I thought it might be. This actually ended up being a really good football game. I know it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't the high scoring, high flying, all the points, whatever, but it was a very intriguing game. And you could make an argument it was the most intriguing of the weekend because the other ones were basically snoozers. The Chiefs game had a lot of intrigue, too, on Saturday afternoon after Patrick Mahomes went down. And Trevor Lawrence battled well, and I think that's a team that's going to be, you know, they could win the South again next year. Titans should be back in the mix again to win the AFC South. So that'll be a good battle with Trevor Lawrence at the top. But the other two games, the Eagles and then the Bengals winning, those really – were only intriguing for the fact that they were blowouts. So this was a good game and probably the best of the weekend, but I don't know that Cooper Rush wins. I'd say the Niners probably still win, but, you know, Cooper Rush is what he is. I think Cowboys fans are just impatient, and that's all.